It's good to be back on the airwaves during a health-related program tonight. I like to call it Life, Liberty, and Your Good Health, or To Health With You, or something of that nature. Good evening, Jeff Bennett. Glad to be here tonight. I am tired. I did not sleep well last night. I don't know, 3, 4 o'clock. I woke at 10:30. I've been plugging away ever since. The guy came out today to finish, I believe we finished up most of the restoration work. There's certain things that I'm taking on because I don't want them doing it. And that's okay with them. I've got actually a bill to send to the insurance company. They're going to reimburse me for some good stuff. And then, of course, the mail comes in and there's bills up the wazoo. Bills from the ambulance company, bills from the hospital, bills for, oh, it's time to pay the insurance car insurance bill again. Hey, ho, ho, ho. Good Lord. Hope you're all doing well tonight. It's supposed to start getting a lot colder here in Arizona tomorrow. We're talking about rain, but I don't see that coming. I'm yawning. I'm tired. I can't breathe. My nose is clogged up. And so, you know, it makes it sound like I'm trying to go to sleep, which is probably what I want to do anyway. You know, I had not touched the Kelly website since the 14th of November and posted 4 or 5 pieces the other night. And I need to do this. There's too much information that needs to be shared. And I don't remember, did I do this stuff last night or did I do it this morning? I think I did it this morning. I lose track of time right now. And I've got a project that I need to stay on, and it's going to be a little grueling. They replaced wooden flooring on the walls of my closet in what at one time was a secondary office, which is where I did the book publishing. And but they replaced it with vinyl stuff that I absolutely hate. Very difficult to work with, very difficult to cut. You can't really use various elastic or glue type substances to make this stuff stick. It's a royal pain in the butt. And I'm having to work now on preparing to put the closet, the clothing rod back into it, etc. The office is no longer used as an office. It's actually my bedroom. And I have reached a point in my life I prefer to sleep alone. And snoring is horrible from the other party. And but I find myself at peace that way. And that's going to be the hard part because this vinyl, You can't run a nail through it. It's too hard. You've almost got to drill a tiny little hole to get a nail through it. And so I've got 1x4s up going over it, but I've got to run that up with screws. Oh, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane. And so that's the project, but it's like I want my closet back so I can get my stuff out of everybody else's closet. Plus, it's got shelves in it, which allows me to store certain things that I need close by. But as I begin to peruse the health-related news, I come across an article that just angered me so much. Hundreds of employees at the University of Massachusetts Memorial Health in Massachusetts have been let go from their jobs because they refused to get vaccinated. Now, back in the summer, the far-left hospital announced that all employees would need to get injected by November the 1st or be terminated on December 1st. 200 of them stood their ground and are now out of a job. And so this corrupt hospital system currently employs 15,000 people, which means herd immunity. Should have been reached with a 99% compliance rate. However, the University of Massachusetts, or UMass, they call themselves, decided that a 100% compliance rate was needed in order to successfully flatten the curve. Corporate spokesperson Deborah Spano said, "We truly hope that everyone would get the vaccine and stay in the UMass Memorial family." Like, she really gives a rip about the family member employees at the hospital system who were callously let go. "But as a healthcare organization," she says, "we must protect our patients and other caregivers." This is the same UMass Memorial Health System that refused a heart transplant for a 37-year-old father of three who chose not to get injected for Chinese germs due to his pre-existing health conditions. Now, the news about UMass comes after a ruling last month from Bill Clinton-appointed U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, who declined to block Mass General Brigham from enforcing a similar mandate. Some employees at Mass General sued the corporate hospital system, Massachusetts' largest, by the way, for refusing their religious exemptions. They sought a preliminary injunction to bar the hospital system from tyrannizing them. Breyer refused, ultimately allowed Mass General to fire 430 of the company's 80,000 employees for refusing to modify their DNA with mRNA, genetically modified, that's GMO, spike proteins, and whatever else is hiding inside those syringes. The evidence of COVID-19 vaccine safety and effectiveness is overwhelming, and more than 99.3% of our employees are vaccinated. That according to Mass General, alleging that its jab mandate ensures that patients are being cared for in the safest clinical environment possible. But meanwhile, hospitals like UMass and Mass General Brigham are reportedly overflowing with sick and dying patients who are fully vaccinated and thus contracted Omicron, or moronic, or Delta, and other jab-induced variants of the Fauci flu. Massachusetts, one of the most highly vaccinated states in America, is now running out of hospital beds from all the gravely ill patients who got their jabs in obedience and are now on their deathbeds. "We ran out of ICU beds today," announced Dr. Eric Dixon, chief executive of UMass over there in Worcester. "That's as bad as I've ever seen it," he said. Across Massachusetts, some 500 state employees have been suspended, fired, resigned for refusing to comply with the state's jab-it-in-your-you-know-what mandate. Currently, there's 362 state employees serving 5 or 10 day suspensions for refusing to obey Governor Charlie Baker's order that they roll up their sleeve for a lethal injection. Another 141 have left the state entirely, 11 were terminated. You see, the Baker administration said, taking together those disciplined account for roughly 1% of the state's 42,000 executive branch employees who had to prove their vaccination status or seek an exemption by October 17th or risk being terminated under one of the country's strictest vaccine mandates. This is pure satanic evil. When life-saving care is denied if you do not comply and submit to someone else's medical choices for you. It's absolutely sickening. The unfortunate thing is that I have maintained and continue to support healthcare workers and non-healthcare workers alike who refuse to accept the jab. I've not taken it. My wife's not taking it. No one in our family's taking it. And we have no intention of taking it. I mean, who knows what's in that stuff? The serum. You can't trust any of them. Maybe that's what Bill Gates is planning on growing up in Wyoming with his massive farmland that he bought. You know, he talks about creating phony food. You know, what do they call those burgers? You get them at Denny's and Wendy's and so many other places. They're burgers and they don't come out of meat. They come out of all vegetable or God knows what. But you know, like clockwork, most vaccinated Americans will lose their immune function by Christmas. And they'll start growing accelerated cancer tumors that will kill them over the next 10 years. Think about that. The elephant in the room with COVID vaccines is not merely that they are erasing the immune systems of those who take the jabs, but that the destruction of immune function will lead to an unprecedented acceleration in cancer tumor growth. It will overwhelm the medical system, kill tens of millions of people over the next decade. You see, the vaccine holocaust, it seems, is going to be felt as a cancer tsunami that will somehow be blamed on everything else except the vaccines themselves. Now, from 1999 to 2019, cancer death rates plunged from 200 per 100,000 population to 146 per 100,000 population. Now, that is sourced out of the CDC. For all of 2019, there were almost 600,000 cancer deaths reported in this country. The CDC has yet to publish their data for 2020, a year that ended a little over 11 months ago. Data from 2021 will be published in 2023. Data from 2022 will be published in 2024 if it maintains the same schedule. But there's a prediction out there. The 2022 cancer fatalities will explode above 1 million fatalities, and cancer death rates will stay elevated for the next decade. All due to COVID vaccines that began in 2021, and yet we won't see that data until 2024. Oh, God. Seems like the decade of cancer deaths is now baked in and cannot be stopped. There are, at present time, over 191 million Americans that have been double vaccinated. Over 220 million have only been single jabbed. The countdown has begun on what will one day be seen as the greatest medical atrocity ever committed against humankind. And importantly, this cannot be stopped. In fact, Big Pharma and criminal cartel leader Anthony Fauci, or as he's known in some circles, is Josef Mengele 2.0. They don't want this to stop. You know, Big Pharma, criminal cartel leader Fauci, Josef Mengele. Unbelievable. We have a wave of cancer which represents the last phase of the medical looting of America, reaping obscene profits from chemotherapy and cancer surgeries while tens of millions of Americans are killed off by the depopulation vaccine weapons system. And by the end of 2031, 10 years from now, tens of millions of Americans will be seriously impaired by cancer, if not already dead from it. And those who escape the ravages of cancer will, of course, be subjected to accelerated deaths from heart attacks, strokes, blood clots that, thanks to the never-ending sequence of booster shots that will be required by the criminal pharma cartels that dictate government policies and media propaganda. In Idaho, one Dr. Ryan Cole, a diagnostics lab owner, is already reporting a 2,000% increase in cancers among those who took the vaccines. Since January 1st, Dr. Cole begins, in the laboratory. I'm seeing a 20 times increase of endometrial cancers. I'm sorry, endometrial cancers over what they see on an annual basis. Cole says he's not exaggerating at all because I took my numbers year over year and I'm like, gosh, I've never seen this many endometrial cancers before. We provide video interview of Dr. Cole on our posting. In children, post-vaccine cancers will take longer to develop, so they may evade cancer death for many years. But in adults who are already growing microtumors, and nearly everyone is already doing it, the loss of immune function will result in the rapid acceleration, the spread of cancer, overwhelming their bodies in a matter of a few months to a few years, depending on their health status when the vaccines were first injected. You know, Trucker Randy winds up posting his images of his 86-year-old mother. 5'2" tall, 95 pounds, no prescriptions, walks 3 to 4 miles a day, eats only venison, buffalo, fruits, and vegetables. Her blood pressure was 120 over 80. But she was forced to get the COVID vaccine by her personal doctor. 8 weeks later, develops a cancerous tumor on her cheek. This is unbelievable, people. This is definitely a population control issue. Because normally, when we hear talk of about boosting immunity in healthy people, we're referring to supporting normal immune function through nutritional and lifestyle support, like taking vitamin D supplements, experiencing restful sleep, avoiding stressful situations, avoiding immune-suppressing medications. But all of these strategies rely on a healthy, functioning immune system that can be encouraged to do its job. But in COVID-vaccinated people, that immune system has already been destroyed by the vaccines themselves, by design. As Dr. Paul Cottrell explained in his eye-opening video, mRNA vaccine makers deliberately add chemicals to their vaccines to erase immune function in order to protect the mRNA strands from a normal immune response that would destroy them. Now, put it another way, a normal healthy immune system would destroy the mRNA strands before they could breach the cell walls and enter cell ribosomes that synthesize proteins. And thus suppressing the immune system is a critical strategy in the delivery of mRNA to the body's cells. But even if that mRNA vaccine is effective against COVID 1.0, and current data appears to show that it offers a temporary reduction in the severity of symptoms, wearing off after a few months, that immune wipeout strategy leaves the body vulnerable to everything else, which includes cancer, influenza, common colds, and other threats to the body. And yet the vaccinated are now being referred to as walking AIDS patients because their immune function drops like clockwork, with some estimates based in the UK data now tracking roughly a 5% drop in immune function every week. But then there's the Swedish study. And they find rapidly waning immunity protection during the first 7 months after taking said vaccine. And the interpretation? Vaccine effectiveness against symptomatic COVID-19 infection wanes progressively over time across all subgroups, but at a different rate according to the type of vaccine, and faster for men and older, frail individuals. God. You know, one of the Vaccines dropped to zero effectiveness within 4 months. In contrast, effectiveness of CHAD OX1 nCoV-19 was generally lower, waned faster, with no effectiveness detected from day 121. I just bopped. All right, so which professions are going to see the highest mortality from vaccine-induced cancer? Because the final point to understand in all of this is that certain professions have much higher rates of vaccine obedience, meaning that they will suffer far higher than normal rates of cancer mortality in the coming years. And those professions include healthcare, you know, doctors, nurses, etc., school teachers, first responders, government workers, tech industry workers. But realistically, we should expect to see an accelerated die-off of people in these industries from 2022 to 2031 due to vaccine effects, both medium-term and long-term. And my friends, all this means is that healthcare is going to experience an unprecedented staffing crisis for many years to come, especially as members of the public who also took the same deadly vaccines wind up in hospital emergency rooms, suffering from heart attacks, strokes, respiratory disorders, neurological disorders, and so on and so forth. And it's already happening across U.S. hospitals right this very minute. It's going to get far worse this winter, which is about upon us. And yet, at the same time, people who don't have jobs will be spared from the death wave because they're not forced into taking vaccines. Oh, God. So we're going to see very high survival rates among welfare recipients and the unemployed, while the employed or the productive members of the economy will be killed off in record numbers. And think about what that means for America's largest cities. As the first responders, the doctors, the productive workers die off, leaving behind the welfare recipients and otherwise unemployed people. Now, all of these things are going to thrust the U.S. cities into chaos, into lawlessness, desperation, which seems to be the number one goal of Marxist Democrats and killer Joe Biden and his puppet masters. This is sad, sad, sad stuff, people. On this article, which is published at drkelly.info, entitled "The Vaccine Cancer Atrocity." And until I first read this piece earlier today, I cannot for the life of me understand how people out there are combating this mask mentality. My God, an empty school bus with a driver this morning with her mask on. I just passed out. I'm beat, guys.
You okay, buddy?
No, I just fell asleep.
Right. Well, we got a break in a couple minutes. We can go a little early if you need to stretch out.
Yeah, let's see. All yeah, right. Go for a break. Second. I'm gonna grab a drink here. Stand by with us, folks. I have to go get a drink. Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
There's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board them. There's hope for all among those who love the most. Thank you.
Oh, welcome back. I didn't disappear on you. I got to the end of my last presentation and passed out. I mean, like, fell asleep. For not very long, but you got a nice piece of music going to the break. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'd forgotten. I was going through Facebook about an hour ago, just checking on notes and messages, etc. And I came across a picture of John Lennon. And it was a photograph taken 41 years ago tonight. And the reference was something about his wife, Yoko Ono, had hand-made this tie for him. And I had to look at it because I couldn't see a tie, but I finally was able to figure it out. And all of a sudden it struck me where I was 41 years ago tonight. My wife and I had purchased a 70-year-old farmhouse in 1980. And we couldn't move into it because I was doing massive restoration to the house before we could move in. I had to redo walls. I had to do paint. I had to do some major work on flooring. People had just let things go. We bought this house. It had 6 layers of carpet on it that reeked of cat piss. And, in fact, when I went out to look at the house, nobody was living there. Apparently, the couple was in the process of getting a divorce. They both lived in a couple of seedy trailers in Flagstaff. And, I had a real crappy lock on it, and I grabbed a beer can and crushed it and popped the door open and went in, and this house just reeked. And they left windows open so the cats could get in and out. It was god-awful. But on this particular night, I was working on the walls in the living room, and this house was on old Route 66, the real Route 66. And 3.5 acres, and this just amazing old home. When the announcement came out that John Lennon had been killed 41 years ago today. Isn't that something? Has nothing to do with our subjects and our commentary for the night, but just a piece of history that you begin to look back upon. My wife and I had been married just over 10 years at that point in time. Oh, no, 11 years. Don't forget all that good stuff. Let's continue. I'd made reference a little bit earlier in the program to vitamin D. And there is a writer who I've known for many, many years, who's been a very frequent contributor to our work. And more in the last year or so, he has concentrated almost strictly on health-related issues, Joel Hirshhorn. And I have been lax in publishing a lot of his stuff because of what I've been going through the last 3-plus months after the heart attack and this other health-related junk that I'm going through. A good example, I didn't fall asleep until well after 3 o'clock last night. I tried going to sleep earlier, and I couldn't. And at 1:30 in the morning, I got up and went up to Circle K to get a cup of decaf coffee and something to nibble on, a couple of donuts, believe it or not. I know that's not good for me, but I really don't give a damn. I was hungry. I didn't feel like fixing anything. Ran into a guy up there, that a black guy that I run into fairly often. And we have a couple of choice names for each other, A-hole and Mother Plugger, and, you know, stuff like that. And we always have a great time getting together. And it's just there's no timing. It just happens to be there. But so I start working on this stuff with Joel. And his most recent column, Justin Smith, also came across elsewhere. And we had some chats about it today. Vitamin D. Government should have promoted it to combat the pandemic, because medical evidence strongly justifies a proactive approach for using vitamin D. And it don't stand for dog, Jack. There seems to be an endless refusal by the public health establishment to fight this pandemic with the best science-based tools. Instead, they keep pushing vaccines. Great German research has provided unequivocal medical evidence that the government should be strongly advocating two actions: taking vitamin D supplements, and secondly, having your blood tested for vitamin D. There was a title for an October 2021 journal article which said it all. COVID-19 mortality risk correlates inversely with vitamin D3 status, and a mortality rate close to zero could theoretically be achieved at 50, I'm not sure what this means, milligrams. Results of a systematic review and meta-analysis refers to metabolite of the vitamin in blood. That's the medical side. But in other words, there's clear evidence that the lower your vitamin D level, the greater your risk from dying of COVID infection. And moreover, the data clearly shows that you need a blood level of at least 50 ng/mL. The odds are, however, that very few people have been tested for their vitamin D level, a situation where waiting for testing is not the prudent approach. Vitamin D pills are pretty damn cheap. You can go to CVS, you can go to Walgreens, you can go to, I don't know, maybe Rite Aid is or isn't still around anymore. I don't know. Perfectly safe to take a healthy daily dose to maintain a good immune system. Joel Hirshhorn takes 4,000 IUs twice daily. I didn't realize you could take that many. And I've got some sitting in my room that I've not been taking, and I think I better jump on the bandwagon tonight. Now, Joel shares with us a number of highlights from this research and other sources. The discussion is aimed at informing people with information not provided by big media, by big government, or big pharma. Vitamin D is an accurate predictor of COVID infection. Deficiency is just as significant, perhaps more so than more commonly discussed underlying medical conditions, including obesity. And to be clear, there's a level of vitamin D for an effective strategy at the personal and population level to prevent or mitigate new surges and outbreaks of COVID that are related to reduced vaccine effectiveness and new variants. In the German study, for example, 15 other studies were cited that showed low vitamin D levels were related to cases of severe COVID infection. And 7 studies that found positive results from treating ill patients with the vitamin. The German study goes on to say that the finding that most SARS-CoV-2 patients admitted to hospitals have vitamin D3 blood levels that are too low is unquestioned, even by opponents of vitamin D supplementation. The German study then followed 1,601 hospitalized patients, 784 who had their vitamin D levels measured within a day after admission, 817 whose vitamin D levels were known before infection. And the researchers also analyzed the long-term average vitamin D3 levels documented for 19 countries. And the observed median vitamin D value over all collected study cohorts was 23.2 ng/mL, which is clearly too low to work effectively against COVID. So why does that vitamin work so damn well? The German study explained that the main cause of a severe reaction from COVID results from a cytokine storm refers to the body's immune system releasing too many toxic cytokines as part of the inflammatory response to the virus. Vitamin D is a main regulator of those cells. A low level of vitamin means a greater risk for a cytokine storm, which is especially pertinent for lung problems from COVID. Now, relating to some other studies, on a par with the German study was an important U.S. medical article from May of this year, Vitamin D and its Potential Benefit for the COVID-19 Pandemic, wherein it noted that experimental studies have shown that vitamin D exerts several actions that are thought to be protective against coronavirus disease, infectivity, and severity. There are a growing number of data connecting COVID-19 infectivity and severity with vitamin D status, suggesting a potential benefit of vitamin D supplementation for primary prevention or as an adjunctive treatment of COVID-19. There is no downside to increasing vitamin D intake and having sensible sunlight exposure to maintain serum 25 hydroxy vitamin D at a level of at least 30 ngmLs. That terminology throws me for a loop because I've never come across it. I don't know the meaning of ngml. And my friend Southern, who is monitoring what I'm talking about, I pray to God, is filling me in here. Test my blood. Now I got to have a shot before I get the blood test. Sweet. It is interesting the number of medical people that listen to my program. And I thoroughly enjoy it. We have some interesting conversations. Daniel Horowitz has made some correct observations about vitamin D supplementation. Horowitz states that an endless stream of academic research demonstrates that not only would such an approach have worked much better than the vaccines, but rather than coming with sundry known and unknown negative side effects, there are now, my friends, 142 studies vouching for the near-perfect correlation between higher vitamin D levels and better outcomes in COVID patients. That's the simplicity of it. I could continue on with Joel's commentary, but we have covered much of it, and I think that it would be well worth your time to read his full article at drkelly.info. It's entitled Vitamin D Government Should Have Promoted to Combat Pandemic. It makes me want to get up and go to the other room and grab some vitamin D and chuck the whole bottle. Maybe it's been sitting on my shelf too long. I don't know. We made reference earlier in the program tonight to some the potential cancer-related issues as it related to, I don't know if I've still got it up here. Yes, it was called The Vaccine Cancer Atrocity, also published at drkelly.info tonight. But this particular piece drew my attention very quickly because it's a simple, it's not the full, complete answer. There's much study to be done, and I still carry Dr. Kelly's books. Whether you've been diagnosed with cancer or not, I would strongly urge that you order a copy through us of Dr. Kelly's book, Victory Over Cancer, Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, and Radiation. It is a complete restoration of Dr. Kelly's original work without the game playing that his previous editor had. But we've restored his original work with the necessary updates, and we've expanded the book tremendously with interviews and lectures by Dr. Kelly, which is interesting because you begin to find that the man never changed. He did not change. He stuck to the story from day one that worked. And that book is available from us. You can go to drkelly.info, and up near the top of the page, it says Home, Welcome, Mission, Dr. Kelly, His Story, and The Bookstore. Click on The Bookstore, just hold your mouse over it, and drop down one notch, and it'll give you the information on how to order Victory Over Cancer without surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. It doesn't mean you have to have cancer to order this book. As a matter of fact, you'll learn an awful lot about not getting cancer by having this book. So I come across this article, The Top 11 Ways to Avoid Cancer. Doctors say cancer cells are smart, and they can target vital organs, take them over, shut down your life. You see, cancer is a disorder of the cells where they mutate, multiply uncontrollably. And it's very common in America, but doctors and oncologists are clueless when it comes to beating cancer. They use chemicals, surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, usually to absolutely no avail. And its purpose? To stave off the inevitable, just a few years. And yet I know of Kelly patients who I've spoken with, who many of them who I've met, who have now survived 15, 20 years without a reoccurrence of cancer. Do you know that about 100 years ago, cancer barely existed in this country? So how is this lethal serial killer that attacks one in every three Americans and kills half of them able to hone in on a vital cleansing organ and take people out like flies? We start with pancreatic cancer. The least survived cancer with about a 95% kill rate. Why? Humans who consume bleach daily overwhelm the pancreas and the prostate and the bladder with one of Earth's most deadly toxins, while the cancer and pharma clock, death clock, just keeps ticking for all those who don't know one damn bit better, and that's about two-thirds of all Americans. Lots of foods are bleached, including the ones you wouldn't even think are bleached because they're not white. Understand this. Most bread in America is highly toxic for humans. In the short run and the long run, here's why. Because conventional bread is loaded with chemicals and sticky gluten that blockades your intestines, causing your food to rot inside your body, eventually leading to cancer. Bread contains a lot of chemicals, including ones to soften it, condition it, preserve it. It also contains bleach because Americans are brainwashed to think that white foods are clean. And then the gluten stops up the intestines, and everything that remains in the body for more than 24 hours turns to poison. I mean, when's the last time you were constipated, huh? And then there's gluten. You know what its nickname is? Food glue. Once the intestines get blockaded, the damage begins setting in. Ulcers, divots, polyps, IBS, Crohn's disease, diverticulitis, acid reflux. Do all these names sound familiar? Because after years of this, cancer begins developing and attacking those weakened areas. And a few years ago, and that's all she wrote, surgery won't change the chronic damage that's ongoing. Medical doctors won't blame the cancer food. They don't even take classes on nutrition in medical school, so there's that. You need to visit a naturopath or a nutritionist for valuable intelligence on healing foods, including superfoods and supplements. Hey, when's the last time you had yourself a bowl of Rice Krispies or Raisin Bran or Cheerios or Fruity Nuts or whatever the heck they're called, and put milk on it? Did you know that conventional milk is bleached? So you want to seriously contemplate avoiding all conventional dairy, because humans are the only animals on Earth that drink milk beyond infancy and from other animals. And as humans drink other animals' milk, we lose the lactase enzyme, making digestion very difficult. Now, we're all lactose intolerant to some degree. It's just the signs don't show right away, which lead to inflammatory diseases, including obesity. Yeah, that's a food disease. You know that, don't you? What about cardiovascular disease? Plant-based plant-based milks are the alternative, but you should still search for organic products. My friends, cancer thrives off inflammation, especially chronic long-term inflammation, which means you need to avoid milk and ice cream and yogurt and sour cream and dairy coffee creamer and cream-based soups. And what about margarine? It's bleached. But then, coming from Wisconsin, I've never liked margarine anyway. We all knew what the hell it was. It's chock full of trans fat that clog your arteries and your veins and your capillaries, restricts your blood flow. The stuff is junk. Oh my God, we're out of time. We'll get to it. Top 11 ways to avoid cancer, right there on drkelly.info. Thanks for joining us. We'll be with you again tomorrow. Take care of yourselves. Good night.
It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars. And down by the shore, an orchestra's playing. And even the palms seem to be swaying when they begin. It again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever and promising never, never to. Divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't let suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. to you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.